In a global industry where anything can happen, where mistakes cost much more than dollars, we bring you expertise from around the world to ensure that everyone goes home safe every day. The internationally acclaimed Oil & Gas HSE podcast starts now with your host, Russell Stewart.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If it's true that nobody reads the show notes, then as you're listening right now, you're going to really be surprised. You're going to really perk up when I tell you who my guest is, because today my guest is Jake Lowney. Jake, did I get that right? Lowney?
Absolutely
with my,
correct.
With my Texas accent, is that a good Irish name? Or
it is. It is. It's a good Irish name. Yep. Grew up in Southwest Montana. Descendant of Irish immigrants that came over to mine in Southwest Montana. So
really, that's very interesting. Okay, so folks, drum roll here. Jake is the senior staff EHE program manager for Tesla.
That is correct.
So you know, and Jake, first of all, you have considerable experience in the heavy civil infrastructure field before you transitioned to Tesla. And that's really what I want to, I mean, we're going to talk about safety today, but I'll be in all kinds of trouble with my audience if we don't talk about Tesla first. Those who are regular listeners to the show know that I always go out on a limb and I ask questions that I don't already know the answer to. I'm going to ask this question though, but I already know the answer to it because you and I have talked about it. And I think the audience is going to really appreciate it too, because some of them are going to say, why is a guy from Tesla on OGGN HSE? Has he gone to the dark side or something? You know? But let's, as you and I were talking the other day, you know, I actually saw an electric car, which happened to be a Tesla, which of course Tesla's to the EV market what Coca-Cola is to the soft drink market, you know.
That's a good analogy, yep.
Yeah, so anyway, the Tesla had a license plate on it. It said no oil. And I'm going to get you to just respond to that.
Yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, I'm a big fan of a logical, reasonable approach to the energy transition. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think all of us would be a bit remiss not to acknowledge, you know, the role oil and gas has had in, you know, the betterment of society in general. And so
absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I tend to support, you know, sustainability and our mission at Tesla. But, I absolutely am willing to be, reasonable and acknowledge the role oil and gas has played in the advancement of humanity.
So are we ever going to find a balance, or how's this thing going to play out? I mean, like, you know, if you look at that license plate, no oil, well, no tires, no plastic parts to the rest of the car, you know, and isn't that right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a balance that we can strike. I think, you know, just looking at it from an energy conservation standpoint, you know, there's a lot of potential on both sides. You know, obviously there's, you know, oil is used for more than just fuel. You know, it's actually
more than 50% of it, just under 50% is used for fuel. Over 50% is used for all the rest.
That's interesting. I thought it was upwards of 85% for fuel and 15% for products. But yeah, I think Russell, like in the grand scheme of things, you know, done a lot of work at my time in the heavy civil industry, you know, supporting projects at oil and gas facilities. You know, I do really want to focus on EHS today, you know, safety and health, but I do think there is a balance to strike here. We could all be a little bit more reasonable and logical, you know, on both sides of the aisle, really.
Oh, yes, I agree. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to move into to why I really, and I appreciate you coming on. I just pulled out my my little stat sheet here. 46% of oil goes to making gasoline. The other 54% goes toward medicine, cosmetics, plastic, synthetic rubber, cleaning products, asphalt, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But let's talk about every industry is interested in everybody coming home safe. And that's really what this show is primarily all about. And so I want to talk about your expertise in safety, because didn't you tell me you went to what might be considered an oil and gas school? Is that right?
I would say so. Yeah. I studied and graduated from Montana Tech. It's one of the leading petroleum engineering schools in the United States. And I have a lot of friends in the industry. I have close friends that work for Chevron. We have a ton of coworkers at Tesla, believe it or not, that have transitioned over from Exxon. So
really? Okay.
Yeah. So we work closely with the oil and gas field. I would say there's, especially from an EHS perspective, there's a lot of similarities in terms of how we manage safety and health and our priorities, and the importance of getting people home safely to their family and friends at the end of the day is absolutely critical. So
you didn't get a petroleum engineering degree, though. I think you got you're a mechanical engineer, right?
I actually studied mechanical engineering for 2 years, and then I got some good guidance from one of my counselors. And I'm a people person. I would rather be out in the field, and so I actually transitioned over into occupational safety and health, and got a degree in occupational safety and health from Montana Tech. So a little bit of a background in mechanical engineering, and then transitioned over into safety and health.
Yeah, and in fact, I actually failed to give you proper recognition when I introduced you, because you've got a CSP.
I do. Yes. Yeah. That was something I really am glad I did for my career. I can't say enough about that process, especially after you're in your boots for a few years, so to speak. You know, it's nice to go back and revisit some of those studies and concepts and refresh. And what I found is with the Board of Certified Safety Professionals, it's much more applicable once you have real world experience, and it makes it all worthwhile.
Interesting. Okay, so for 15 years, how long have you been with Tesla?
So I've been with Tesla for a little over 3 years now. I spent 15 years with Granite Construction prior to coming over to Tesla.
Now that's an interesting transition. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So a lot of people may not know this, but Tesla has its own internal self-perform construction teams. So we are very vertically integrated. So we have teams within Tesla that build the factories, and we are supporting those teams. And that's really, Russell, to be honest with you, that's what drew me to the company. I had a former coworker from Granite transition over. He's actually a director of EHS at Tesla now. And then, he and I were pretty close friends, I had been fan of the company for a long time, kind of following the progress, the innovation, the potential opportunity for improvements to from an energy standpoint, and just kind of drew me in, and we started talking, and fortunately enough to apply, interview, go through the process, and get a job. So
actually, what you're kind of what Tesla's involved in, it's not that much different from what you were doing, or are there a lot of differences?
Well, I would say, I mean, there's pretty some pretty significant differences from a cultural standpoint. You know, the Granite's a 100-year-old company, very, very well established. You know, all the policies and procedures are in place. I would say, in many ways, just more mature, I would say, in the safety and health program. But what I really appreciate about Tesla is the amount of progress we've made in the time that I've been with the company, and it is not due to me. But I would say the VP of safety, our directors, everybody has really bought into this idea of human and organizational performance. We also just refer to it as HOP.
Right.
But yeah, there are some pretty significant differences. You know, Granite did heavy civil infrastructure work. You know, a lot of roads, runways, airports, a lot of work for the Department of Defense, tunneling, bridges. You know, one of the projects I really was lucky enough to be on was, you know, we built a bridge between Brooklyn and Queens when I was with Granite, and did a lot of different work from that regard. So I've always enjoyed, you know, being close to the field, being close to the workers, and doing my best to understand their needs to help support a positive safety and health environment in the field.
And you're talking about some high risk occupations here.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, looking back at it, it's interesting, right? Because I think we all have our own acceptance of risk. And I think when you're exposed to those levels of risk, right, when you're on the side of the highway, protected by a few orange cones or barrels, and cars are barreling past you at 60, 70 miles an hour, you know, it definitely changes your risk tolerance.
that's putting it mildly, I would say. So I'm curious, you mentioned HOP, you said Tesla's kind of diving into HOP, but you didn't come across that when you were with Granite. I'm just curious.
Actually, I had read, you know, I'd read some books about it and stuff like that, but you know, Granite was primarily behavior-based safety, right?
Okay.
Really focusing on that, and had a, like I said, a very mature program. You know, ISO certified and the whole nine yards. And so it was a good experience to kind of work my way up from, you know, an EHS engineer in the field, to a project, EHS person, and then a regional EHS person. And then eventually, worked my way over to, the corporate safety compliance manager. And so I spent a little time at the corporate level of the company prior to, you know, taking a little bit of a step back in my career, for, you know, to have a better work-life balance, and actually it's been a very positive thing. So it's a bit odd to tell people that I, you know, I took a step back in my career to come to Tesla, which is a very busy mission-driven organization, but they always get a chuckle out of that. But yeah, it's been a really good experience for me. So I'm glad I did it.
Okay. So now I am going to ask a question that I don't know the answer to, and I'm not putting you on the spot here. I'm genuinely interested in your answer to the question, because I get asked this all the time. What is the difference between behavioral based safety and human and organizational performance?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and you know, this is probably a product of the type of work that Granite did versus the type of work that Tesla does in terms of, you know, our primary function or reason for existence. But, you know, I think, behavioral based safety is really focused on the person, right? How can we affect change within the person, where HOP is more focused on the system and the environment, working conditions and organizational culture that the person is working in and how that affects their outcomes. Probably the best way I could describe it in a short sentence. So,
okay, well, that's interesting. Do you find, and I've been told this by others before. Actually, I talked to one expert, and he said if you really have a proper, well, he said that a lot of times people will say, I really appreciated the answer that you just gave, because it was a better answer than what I've gotten from other people, because I've heard, well, behavioral based safety is more into compliance, checking the boxes, and you know, human and organizational performance is more along the lines of the system, like you said. But I talked to one expert on it, and he said the truth of the matter is, if you have a perfect behavioral based system, and if you have a perfect HOP system, there's not a whole lot of difference, if any, between the two.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually would agree that, you know, I believe if you get into the intricacies, there's some fundamental differences. But much of it is in terms of how you interpret those concepts and then integrate them into your programs and launch them and manage them and monitor them in the field, right? And I think that's absolutely true. I don't think that there's necessarily a reason to argue or debate between the two, but I do feel specifically for Tesla, HOP does provide a much stronger level of safety than behavior-based safety if you're really looking at the core concepts and being very literal about it. But I do agree.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think you're right. And of course, everybody's going to know it's that HOP acronym. That's what it's turned into.
Yep.
Really just in the last few recent year, before it was always just called HP, which was human performance, which actually the people who took human performance to its highest levels were first of all the aviation industry, and then actually the nuclear industry.
Yes. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, in the nuclear industry, they don't call it HP; they call it HU, and I can't remember now, but HP already stood for something else in the nuclear industry. So when they came up with human performance, they just took the first two letters and called it HU. Yeah.
I was going to go for human understanding. Maybe that might be too, it might be too progressive.
Well, so. You know what you mean? No, but I think it's just the human performance.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are, You're building factories, I guess, all over the world. Those factories are where you build your cars, and so you got lots of people that you have to manage as far as the safety side goes. You guys are using human and organizational performance. Now you say you're diving into HOP. How far have you dove?
Yeah. I think, well, the cool thing that I really appreciate about Tesla is this mindset of program and system integration, right? We try to optimize the system wherever we possibly can to gain efficiency and improve effectiveness. And so the nice thing about this is, like, one example that I can provide is on our contractor work coordination and worker onboarding system, workforce management, which is an internal built tool that we wrote the software for. We are actually able to integrate HOP principles into the onboarding process. So, like, when our contractors come out to our sites to work, you know, and we're finding we have about a 1-to-1 ratio of Tesla employees to contractors, contracted workers that are coming on site. These are employees of construction companies, service providers, tool install, maybe even our manufacturing equipment suppliers that are coming out to support a new line, the installation.
Okay, now you've really gotten my attention, because the parallels to, say, an oil rig or a petrochemical plant or whatever, that's exactly what you're dealing with there.
Yeah.
So exactly. How have you successfully managed that? I'm really interested in that.
Well, so we have, through this system, we're able to assign the contractor a scope of work. And that scope of work has a specific start and end date, and it's defined within the process. The Tesla responsible person is able to identify critical business impacts, things like work on fire suppression systems, security and access control systems, manufacturing scopes of work that would impact manufacturing production, and so on and so forth. Stormwater would be another one. And then after they are assigned the scope of work, they actually are given access to this portal that we built, this tool, and they're able to go in, further define the risks associated with their work. Like, are they going to perform work at heights? Are they going to have to do lockout tagout? Are they going to have to do confined space work, crane work, whole list of items. From there, we actually take their selections and we build them into our electronic pre-work risk assessment tool. So they're able to actually take the work that they've done, feed it directly into like what you would traditionally call a JSA or a JHA.
Right, right.
We call a pre-work risk assessment. And then okay. Through that tool, they're able to identify their work activities, the hazards. And then where HOP comes in is we are able to communicate essential safeguard information to the contractor automatically based on their selections in the tool. So rather than, leave it up to them to determine their entire plan, they're still responsible for that, but we're able to add in certain requirements and expectations that align with our HOP program into that electronic pre-work risk assessment. And they're able to then rate the risk, submit the document. It then is stored in the system for review and approval by the Tesla responsible person and EHS. And this actually helps us be a lot more efficient with the onboarding process, because this system actually connects to our access control and badging system. So we can ensure that certain requirements are in place and workers have taken their orientation and so on and so forth before they even show up and are issued a badge.
Now, this software, does it also give you the ability to, or do you have somebody, do you have, for example, coaches in the field or who observe your contractors, and then you have some kind of database to see, what they're doing right and maybe what they're doing wrong?
Yeah. So one of the main differences between Granite and Tesla is our iterative approach. So at Tesla, we believe in making small incremental improvements, even if they're not what you would consider to be perfect for like an off-the-shelf product. We deploy those small incremental improvements, and that effectively allows us to make change faster over time, because we're able to deploy a feature, learn from it, enhance it, improve it, and move on. So to answer your question, we are adding in the ability to review and rate the contractor. But this whole process as it exists today, incorporates with our procedural requirements, which are, to meet the contractor out in the field on the first day of work at our manufacturing and R&D locations. Obviously, sales, service delivery, and energy, our commercial energy and supercharging teams are a bit more remote. But the Tesla responsible persons are trained. We have a leadership training program.
They then meet the contractor out in the field. They do a site walk, review emergency exit and access protocols, discuss the on-site hazards and risks associated with the scope of work. And then the contractor is able to update that document in the same system without losing their previous work if necessary. So we really believe in, you know, safety and health to me is all about relationships, right?
You're singing my tune. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we can never lose sight of that. So we've intentionally not over automated the system because we want people to be connecting and be part of the process to ensure the work is being planned and conducted safely, because that's just good business. It's supportive of our mission. And that means that work is done more productively and more consistently, and there's less interruptions, and people get to go home to their families, safe and healthy.
Well, there you go. And I think that's maybe a good place to pin it right there, unless you got something else you want to add.
You know, I think the only other thing I would add is we really believe in six principles of HOP. And they are that error is normal.
Yeah, that's number one. Yeah, right.
Yep, absolutely right. Blame stops improvement.
Blame fixes nothing. There you go.
Yeah. So like the common saying that has really caught on at Tesla now is we can either blame or we can learn, but we can't do both. So
I like that.
Yeah. So that's a good one. That's really helped us. And that actually helps validate what we're trying to do, because a lot of the workers, when there's an event, you know, when they come in, they're thinking they're going to, you know, be thrown in front of the bus. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The proverbial, head hunting session after an event. And so when we come in and we say, no, forget about that. We want to learn from what happened. It kind of is this aha moment. And then what we've found is they really start to believe in our program. So it's this, we have a lot of skeptics related to safety and health, especially at the field level, right? The people that are out there doing the work. So when we actually walk the talk and do what we say we're going to do, it means a lot to them. So that leads to response matters. So that's the third principle. And then context drives behavior. So the pressure, our culture, what we talk about is driving the behavioral outcomes of the workforce. We also believe that safeguards save lives and that learning and improving are essential. So if you put all those priorities together, we've got to strike a balance between all six. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, when we truly stand up for what we believe in and have high integrity, I think we end up in a much better position to affect change and create a positive working environment.
Well, Jake, I really appreciate you sharing that with our audience. That's some really valuable insight, and that's if I do say so myself, that's why people listen to this show, because we bring experts like you on who can provide that valuable insight. So I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. We'll put your LinkedIn contact information in case folks want to reach out to you, because I asked you how far have you dove. You've dived deep into this HOP, and I was at a IADC, which is International Association of Drilling Contractors,
yeah,
meeting last month, and that was a huge topic for the 2-day safety conference. So Jake, again, thanks.
Well, thank you, Russell. I want to say thank you to you as well. And, you know, I think maybe we can have a follow-up conversation about oil and gas and electric vehicles, but
I think
this is one of the fun things about safety and health, right? Is if we're competing, if we're competing from a standpoint of who hurts more people, that's not the right thing to be competing about, right? Or to focus on. So yeah, I just want to say, with all the differences that the industries have in the world today and all the, seems like all the negativity around them, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on, speak with someone like yourself. I admire what you do, and just wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, again, like you said, when you get right down to it, as you said a while ago, the key is relationships. Everything is about people and about people coming home safe. So,
absolutely.
So everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. We appreciate you listening. Please post us on LinkedIn and on your social media. Tell your friends about us. Let other people know so they can get this valuable information. I mean, it is an HSE show, but as I always say, everybody's an HSE professional. You know, from the CEO to all the way down to the worker, we should all be about HSE. So leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify, or there's actually a review link in the show notes that I said nobody reads, where you can leave a review. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in next week for another engaging episode of the Oil & Gas HSE Podcast, a production of the Oil & Gas Global Network. Learn more at oggn.com.